Okay, last week a number of guys here and I went to Nathan Payman's wedding, and for many of them, it was the first time that they were at a Sephardic wedding, or somewhat of a Sephardic wedding, and there were certain parts that were a little bit confusing if you're used to an Ashkenazi wedding. But one part in particular was the ksuba. I remember right before the chuppah started, I was sitting next to Rabbi Kamenetsky, and Rav Yonason Sachs was sitting in front of us, and he was like practicing reading the ksuba. And Rabbi Kamenetsky says to me, "Why is Rav Sachs practicing reading the ksuba? He could write it from memory," meaning he's Rav Sachs. And then when he got up to actually read the ksuba, we realized why, because it was a Sephardic ksuba. It was extremely different, and there is no even standard text of a Sephardic ksuba. There are modifications that are made, other than just the names, that are different based on each ksuba. So I want to talk a little bit about the differences between a Sephardic ksuba and an Ashkenazi ksuba. And just like whenever we talk about differences between Sephardi and Ashkenazi anything, this comes mostly from Rabbi Jachter's new book, Bridging Traditions, with a few little hosafos along the way. So there are several differences between Sephardi and Ashkenazi ksubas. We're going to point out four major differences and maybe a couple of minor differences. So difference number one is there is a major sugya in Shas. Oh, Daf Yomi just started ksubas, so this is also appropriate for that limud. So there is and many of you just learned ksubas. So there is a major machlokas in Shas, whether ksuba is a din d'arais or a din d'rabban, whether ksuba's pesula is a din d'arais or a din d'rabban. This is a machlokas tanayim, it is a machlokas amorayim, it is a machlokas rishonim, it's a stira in Rambams all over the place, whether ksuba is a din d'arisa, ksubas pesula is a din d'arisa, or a din d'rabban. Ksubas almana is for sure a din d'rabban. Yet, there is a phrase that is standard in Ashkenazi ksubas that seems to suggest that we paskin ksubas d'arisa, because the phrase goes that here is kesef zuzi ma'asan, the 200 zuz, d'chazi lichi mida oraisa, that you deserve to have, that's appropriate to be coming to you, mida oraisa. So mida oraisa, the word mida oraisa is right there in the ksuba, which would seem to suggest ksuba's da oraisa. The problem is, what do we do with all those rishonim and tanaim and amarayim that say that ksuba is the rabbanan? So this problem is dealt with in Tosos and ksuba's da v'yudam and aleph, as well as the rush in the first parakum mesachs ksuba's simin yotes. So Tosos writes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that's, well, what more do you need? That's a raya, that we paskin ksuba's da oraisa. It says da oraisa in the ksuba. And that's why in the ksuba salmana we don't include that phrase, because everybody agrees ksuba salmana is rabbanan. The Rush says, no, the chazi lichi midaraisa is a description on the kesef, not a description of the obligation, meaning the obligation is an obligation midrabanan. But what type of currency are we talking about? We're talking about the type of currency that's used to fulfill da'oraisa obligations. I mean, there are two types of currency that we have in Shas. There's what's called kesef tzuri and kesef medina. Kesef tzuri is worth 8 times the amount of kesef medina. It's like you have American dollars and Canadian dollars, and they're not worth exactly the same amount of money. So you have different types of zuz. You have kesef tzuri and you have kesef medina. So we're saying, just like by pidina ben, when you need the chamish kalim for pidina ben, it's kesef tzuri. So too, the ksuba money that we're talking about, the masayim zuz that we're talking about, is masayim zuz of kesef tzuri. It's masayim zuz of the much more expensive type of kesef. So that's what it means, the chazi lichi midaraisa, says the Rush. This would mean, Rav Shachter pointed out, that we often think of, you learn Maseches Ksubas a whole year, and you get the impression that a Ksubas Pesul is worth twice as much as a Ksubas Almana, because a Ksubas Almana is 100 zuz, and Ksubas Pesula is 200 zuz. According to many Rishonim, Rav Shachter thought this was the Pashtos, a Ksubas Pesul is worth 16 times the amount of a Ksubas Almana. A Ksubas Almana is 100 zuz of Kesef Medina. A Ksubas Pesul is Masayim zuz of Kesef Tzuri. So it's not even close. It's 16 times the amount. Not all Rishonim agree with that. Many Rishonim say that Pashtos throughout the whole Masechta is that you're dealing with where it's double, that Ksubas Pesul is double of Ksubas Almana. So what does this have to do with Sephardim and Ashkenazim? Because Sephardic practice is to leave out that phrase, the chazilichi midaraisa. And the reason is because they paskin, the ksubas drabanan, and they don't buy the Rush's answer. They don't think that it's appropriate to have that phrase, the chazilichi midaraisa. This is recorded by Ravad Yosef and Yabia Omer and Chela Gimel and Avina Ezra Simon Yubez, and he quotes dozens of Rishonim who say to leave out the word Daraisa and just say Kesev Zuzi Masan Dechazi Lichi, period. Rav Shalom Esas in Tshuvas Shemesh Umagen Chela Gimel Avina Ezra Simon Samech Aleph also says this Sephardic practice. Now Rav Ejakti quotes from Mordechai Lebhard that if the Sephardic Suba has the word Midaraisa in it, in Magnavos Seven Ezra Simon Samech Vavos Vav, that it would be kosher, it apparently even appears in one version of the Rambam's Ksuba in Yibam Chalitza Perek Dalid Halach Lamed Gimel, although the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos Perek Yud Halach Zayin is very clear that the Ksuba is the Rabbanan, but like I said, there are stiras all over the place in the Rambam. So that is one difference, whether you have the word Mi Da'oraisa in the Ksuba. In Ashkenazi Ksubas you have it, in Sephardic Ksubas you don't have it. A second difference is whether you write the words Anan Sahadi. In a Sephardic Ksuba, they write the word Anan Sahadi. What does Anan Sahadi mean? I mean, we are witnesses. We are hereby witnessing. And that's why, who signs on the bottom of a Ksuba? Two witnesses, because it's a declaration. The Ksuba is a declaration made by witnesses that we saw the Chassan did a Kabbalah's Kinyan and he accepted upon himself all three parts of the Ksuba, all the obligations therein, and signed on this and this date and this place, signed the witnesses. So they include Anan Sa'adi, and that makes a lot of sense. Rav Shachtel points out that Ashkenazim do not include Anan Sa'adi, and that likely means that an Ashkenazi Ksuba is not a statement of witnesses, it's a statement of Beis Din. It's signed by witnesses, but it's really a Maisa Beis Din, which could have Chapa Nafkamina, because Beis Din, we know that Beis Din is not Yoshev Balayla. So probably when you sign the Ksuba, you should be Makbid, if you're Ashkenazi, that it be done during the day, because it's a Maisa Beis Din, whereas if you're a Sephardi, it's just witnesses testifying to something, so it's Anan Sa'adi, so they could do that day or night. So that seems to be, that it's just Stam, generally, good to be sensitive to a text, and who the speaker is in the text. I mean, a lot of times you just read things and you don't pay attention to. I was once in Rabbi Neuberger's shul, a few times I was in Rabbi Neuberger's shul on Shabbos, and one time I noticed that when it came to the second Yom Kippur Kan, he stood up by the Amud, where, by the whatever, where, you know, where he speaks. What do you call that? The podium, the lectern, I don't know. He stood up there by the and he was declaring, he was like reading out loud the second Yom Kippur Kan. So I asked the guys around me, why does he do that? And everyone's like, he does, you know, like Yom Kippur Kan, everyone's out, you know, everyone's out to lunch, everyone's in space. So I asked Rav Neuberger afterwards, and he said, because if you look at the words, the second Yom Kippur Kan is clearly written as a statement to the tzibur. It's written in second person that you should be zocha to these things. You, so it should be someone speaking to the tzibur in the second Yom Kippur Kan. So he says, just to make the words make sense, just that it's written in that way. So that's the way I say it. So if you're sensitive to the ksuba, so that's by Svardin, they say that they have Anan Sahadi because it's written in the language of Edom. A third difference, and probably the biggest difference, is the amount of money in the ksuba. In Ashkenazi ksuba, we always have a standard amount for the Tosefes ksuba, which is fine. We always add Me'a Zekukim Kesef Tzaruf. I mean, there are three parts to ksuba. There's the Masayim Zuz that you give to a Besula, that is either Din D'Oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan, but Masayim Zuz that you give to a Besula. Then there's what the Chassan adds. He likes to throw in extra money because he loves his wife so much, so he wants to throw in extra money. That's called Tosefes Ksuba. And then there's the Nedunya, which is they assess all the things that she brings into the marriage. She's coming in with clothing and with shoes and with an iPad and with, I mean, or a kosher phone or whatever, right? And with all of these different items that she's bringing into the marriage. So they assess the value of all that so that when they, when the ksuba gets paid, he'll be able he'll be obligated to pay that value. So those are the three parts of the ksuba. I remember at my wedding, Rosh Hashanah said to me, do you accept, you know, when I did the Kabbalah's Kinyan, you're hereby accepting all three parts of the ksuba? And I said, uh-huh, but I had no idea what the three parts of the ksuba were. So it's good to explain in advance what the three parts of the ksuba are. So by Ashkenazim, we always add Me'a Zekukim Kesef Tzaruf for the Tosefes Ksuba, 100 type of silver German coins. The Shulchan Aruch recommends that the Tosefes should be, Shulchan Aruch and Siman Samach Zayin says that the Tosefes should just be 50% more than the original amount, which Ashkenazim do way more than that. Meaning the original amount is Masayim Zuz. We do way more than 50% more than that. Me'a Zekukim Kesef Tzaruf is a lot more money. It's exponentially more. we also keep a standard amount for the nedunya, and that's the assessment of the possessions that a woman brings into the marriage, which are going to be replaced when the ksuba gets paid. It's the nechsei tzon barzel, and we always assess it at own meya zukukim kesef tzaruf acherim kenegdan, at another meya zukukim kesef tzaruf, regardless of how much the woman has at the time that they started that minug, probably in times of the maril or something. At the times they started that minug, it was a dream that a woman would have a meya zukukim kesef tzaruf worth of stuff. People didn't have two dresses, they didn't have anything, so it was aspirational, or it was to put that amount of money in. Nowadays maybe it's not so aspirational, but that's a standard. Rich, poor, anything, everyone puts that same amount in. The exact value of Meir Zukukim Kesef Tzaruf or Masayim Zukukim Kesef Tzaruf, which it ends up being, is somewhere between 45.5 and 57 kilograms of silver. How much is that? It's a lot of money. It depends on the price of silver, obviously, but silver is high. It's a lot of money. Svardim also don't assess all of her dresses and devices, but they negotiate an amount for the combination of the Tosefos and the Nedunya. I mean, they pick an amount that they think makes sense. So that opens things up, obviously, to big fights. There's something beautiful about having a standard, that there's nothing to negotiate. It's whatever it was printed on it when I bought it in the store. That's how much money is in the ksuba. But by Svardin, it's not like that. They negotiate a price that they're actually going to pay for the ksuba. So that could open things up to big fights. They say Rav Vadi Yosef would say that $52,000, because the gematria of Ben is 52, so I don't know if it's a simon that they should have they should be zocha to Ben. I don't know what, but $52,000. That's the that was what Rav Vadia used to say. Rav Shechter suggests $100,000 is the proper amount to put into the ksuba. I was listening at Nathan's wedding; it said $18,000, so he got off really cheap. I'm not sure how that. I don't know how that happened. Maybe marrying an Ashkenazi, you can get away with whatever you want. They never heard of the whole thing anyway. So that's. A third difference between Sephardi and Ashkenazi ksubas. The fourth difference is the inclusion of a Shavua Chamura. There is something called the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, which includes a number of things. Rabbeinu Gershom Meir Agola made Charamim on a variety of things. Most famously, of course, is not to read someone else's mail, not to be Megari Shanisha Bal Karcha, and not to marry more than one wife. So the one that's relevant for us is not to marry more than one wife. There's a Chuvas Marik who quotes a Chuvas Harashba that the reason Rabbeinu Gershom had to institute a Cherem was to stop abusive husbands from mistreating their wives. In the Shuvas Mishkanet Yaakov and Ibn Ezra Siman Aleph, he says that it also prevents a man from taking on more financial responsibility than he's capable of providing, because each woman that he marries, he has an obligation to support. Also, the Ramah in Ibn Ezra Siman Aleph Sif Yud says that the assumption in every Ashkenazi community is that the Cherem is binding, even if you don't know it to be so. Meaning the Cherem was not made on the world, it was accepted in certain communities, in France and in Spain or whatever, in Poland or whatever, I don't know, probably not France and Spain, but Poland and different places where the Cherem, and Germany where the Cherem was accepted. So the Rama writes that the assumption is that every Ashkenazi community accepts the Cherem. Not only that, there was no American Jewish community at the time of the Cherem. This is going back 1,000 years. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, but everyone in America is a descendant of people who were in those communities, so the Cherem is assumed to be binding on everybody. However, this Cherem is not binding on Sephardim, for one of two reasons. Rav Adi Yosef writes in Yabi Omer Chelkei Evne Ezer Simen Aleph, that most likely it's because Sephardim simply never accepted the Cherem. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Evne Ezer Simen Aleph Sif Yud, that Sephardim and Sephardi communities never accepted this Cherem to Rabbeinu Gershom, so it's not binding on them. So Sephardim technically are allowed to marry, would have been allowed to marry more than one wife. The other explanation is that Rabbeinu Gershom wrote that his Cherem applies ad sof ha'elef, until the end of Elef. So the question is, what does that mean? Does it mean 1,000 years from the time the Cherem was made? Or does it mean till the end of the millennium? Meaning, which would have been in the year 1239 or 1240, right? Because that was the end of the Elef HaChamishi, right? We are now 782 years past that, because we're in 5782. So Ad Sof HaElef either means the end of the millennium or the end of, so it could be that for Sephardim, it ran out in the year 1240 and was never renewed. So in order that Sephardim shouldn't run around marrying more than one wife, a standard part of the Sephardi Ksuba became to include a Shavua Chamura, that the husband commits with the force of a Shavua that he's not going to take another wife, that he's not going to marry anybody else while he's still married to the first wife. Rav Shlomo Amar, Rav Ejakter quotes, Rav Shlomo Amar holds that even if they didn't write this into the Ksuba, it's understood as binding, because that's a minhag medina. So there is a major machlokas about the level of this cherem. Some hold that it takes on the status of a din d'oraisa, meaning to the point that you would say sveikul chumra. Others say that it takes on the status of a din midivrei kabbalah. And the accepted opinion, Rav Asher Weiss points out, the accepted opinion is that it's binding midrabanan, which would be very interesting. That would mean for an Ashkenazi, it's binding midrabanan, but for a Sephardi who takes a Shavua Chamura in his Ksuba, it's going to be binding midaraisa, because when you take a Neder or a Shavua, that's binding midaraisa. You can create your own dinim daraisa by taking, we don't recommend it generally, by taking Nedarim and Shavua. So it turned out that ironically, it could be more Chamur for a Sephardi than it is for an Ashkenazi. Then there are some other minor differences in the Ksuba. The Chassan typically signs the Ksuba by Sephardim in addition to the Edim, although that's not uniquely Sephardic. I think in the biography of Rav Eliyashiv, they printed a copy of Rav Eliyashiv's Ksuba, and Rav Eliyashiv signed it at the bottom. Maybe it was by Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I don't remember. One of the Gedolim biographies from Eretz Yisrael, one of the great Ashkenazi Gedolim, he also signed it at the bottom. So that's something that's not that uncommon, although typically in Ashkenazi weddings we don't do that. And there are also variations in spelling of places and names and things like that in Sephardi Ksuba versus an Ashkenazi Ksuba. But in general, a person should always be aware when, God willing, when the time comes and you have to buy a Ksuba, just be aware, first of all, of what, you know, whether you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi, whether it's Ksuba Spasula or Ksuba Salman. You know, when you go to the store, you have to make sure that you're buying the right thing. I don't know if you heard, there was this big controversy in Eretz Yisrael. They found that the standard form of Ksuba that they were selling in all the Sephardim stores was missing a key word, and no one noticed it. Thousands and thousands of couples got married with the Pasul Ksuba because the standard printed edition was missing Mizonaichi, which is a very important part of the Ksuba, that you know that you're providing Mizonos. And it was just, so it's good to know what it actually says in the Ksuba. We always tell the Eidim before they sign, you know, read it. I would never tell you to sign anything that you don't read, but they never do, you know. And they, or maybe they'll skim it very quickly. But it's important to know what it says. So these are some of the differences between the Sephardi and the Ashkenazi Ksuba. Okay.